Good morning. I wanted to share some thoughts on miracles, prayer, and suffering this morning. We tragically lost a little girl in our community in the process of childbirth. Her heart stopped beating in childbirth, and this is the daughter of some close friends of ours. And it's actually, we're actually the godparents of this little girl, so this is a heavy loss. We prayed for resurrection because Jesus commanded us to pray for healing. And I know that people are raised from the dead. I know a man who has seen 3 or 4 people raised from the dead. I forget how many. And actually this past week, I met with a woman. We had a prayer session, and she had a sister who flatlined when she was very young, and God brought her back from the dead. She also had a daughter who was born just like this little girl without a heartbeat, and God raised her from the dead. This happens. This is real. God is at work. We didn't see it happen. But I want to say to you that our faith is not in what God will do. Our faith is in what God has done. We are not in a test season or a test trial of our faith. And if your faith is in a test trial, you do not have true faith yet. Our faith is not in what God will do, but what God has done. God has already raised Jesus from the dead. If your faith is in Jesus because you believe he's going to do A, B, and C for you, that is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is, I put my faith in Jesus because God has already raised him from the dead. So I am buried with Jesus. My future is buried with Jesus, and it's raised with Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, I go. If God has not raised Jesus from the dead, I am not being raised from the dead. But I have buried myself with Christ because God already has raised him from the dead. I have put my faith in that. That's the point of baptism. I have said ritually, bury me with Jesus. I am not turning back. I'm already dead. I am with Christ, and there is no turning back. Once a person has died with Christ, there is no turning back. Unless the only coming back is in resurrection. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. I am buried with Christ. There is no turning back. We will continue to pray for healing. We'll continue to pray for resurrection in our life. And if the Lord leads us to, even for this little girl, because I know stories of people who have been dead for more than a couple days, and God still raised them from the dead, and because we're commanded to. But I also know that life is complicated, and while Jesus is always against sickness and death, there is a purpose in pain. When we read the scriptures, we see that Jesus never turned someone away from for healing. When they came for healing, Jesus never said, no, no, it's God's will, you must suffer. The closest thing you find to that is in John's gospel, where the Pharisees ask, Lord, who was it, this man or his parents that sinned in order that he would be born blind? And Jesus says it wasn't because he sinned or his parents, but so that the works of God might be manifest in him. The world is more complicated. We want yes and no answers, but sometimes the answer is more complicated than that. When Jesus was being arrested, it says that he said to those who came to arrest him in the garden, he said, if you're looking for me, then arrest me and let these go. Let these others go, meaning his disciples. In other words, don't treat them the same way you're going to treat me. Don't arrest them. Don't abuse them. I don't want you to do that. And he says, John's gospel says that this was because Jesus had prayed that of those God had given him, he had lost not one. Jesus did not want his disciples to suffer with him on the cross. He was suffering for them on the cross, and he did not want them to suffer with him. God is against sin, death, and sickness. Those are not from God. Yet, God allowed them in the world because there is a purpose in it. And I believe that purpose is that we might be tested in our faith and that our worship of God might have value, because we have the choice between good and evil, and we choose good in spite of the pain. Your worship in the middle of suffering, my worship in the middle of suffering, is the most precious fragrance that we could offer to God in our worship. King David when he wanted to offer a sacrifice to God, wanted a place to do that. So he wanted to buy a man's threshing floor as a place to build an altar. And the man said to King David, he said, just take it, it's yours. But David said, I will not give an offering that costs me nothing. Your worship in the middle of suffering is an offering that is well-pleasing to God because it costs you something. Psalm 50 says, gather to me my godly ones, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Worship that costs you nothing is not worship. Worship in the middle of pain is some of the most costly worship you can give, some of the most beautiful worship you can give. There is a time for pain. Jesus, who protected his disciples so that they wouldn't be arrested and suffer with him, also told Peter, one of his close disciples, he said, there is a time coming. He said, when you were young, he said to Peter, when you were young, you would dress yourself and go wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, someone else is going to dress you and take you where you don't wish to go. And John makes clear in his gospel, he says, this was to indicate the kind of suffering and the kind of death that Peter would experience to glorify God. So there is a time where Jesus protects us from suffering. There's also a time that Jesus calls us not just to suffer, but to join him in suffering, because part of how we exercise God's authority, which is how we heal, is by exercising his authority. Part of how we exercise his authority and walk in union with him is also by sharing in his suffering, because that is a central part of his character, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. God gives expensively. God pours himself out for you and me generously, and he does it through his suffering. He says, give me your burdens, give me your curses, give me your pain, I will carry that. And then he calls his followers to do the same. As the Father sent me into the world, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. So part of the purpose of suffering is to be able to express love and devotion to God and his people. And by his people, I don't mean simply Christians or the church, but actually to those outside the church. Brother Richard Wurmbrand is a Christian, Romanian Christian. He was a Jew, and he suffered greatly at the time of the communists and the Nazis, because he became a believer, which made him an enemy of the communists, and he was a Jew, which made him an enemy of the Nazis, and he was persecuted immensely. Yet he was very bold in his faith because he had lived a very evil, hedonistic life. And when he came to Christ, he devoted himself entirely to Christ zealously. And he was enduring suffering in a communist prison. And the reason he was suffering was because he was praying. So he would be in isolation, and he would be spending his time in prayer. The guard would check on him, find him praying, take him out, take him to the torture chamber, and beat him. Then throw him back in. You know, he'd find him praying again, and he'd beat him again. Throw him back in, and he'd find him praying again. And finally, he asked him, "What do you have to pray for? Why are you still praying? Who are you praying for?" And Richard Wurmbrand said, "I am praying for you." And many people have been brought to Christ in prison because of Christians who are suffering in prison. So God has his redemptive purposes, and God, when he calls you to suffer, he is calling you to a very high honor. He's trusting you with an assignment that is like Jesus' assignment, a call to suffer, to lay down your life for the sake of others, to suffer well, to glorify God in that suffering. That is a high honor. It's something that God entrusts to people who we know can handle it. And someone today needs to know, you need to know that you can handle it. You've had a lot of suffering. You don't believe that you can handle it, so you've thought it was unfair. But God knows you can, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And in our weakness, he is made strong, because power is perfected in weakness. So know that God has called you to a high honor, and wherever God has called you, he has equipped you to accomplish it in victory. So I hope this has encouraged you today. If it has, leave a comment below, you know, like it, share it with somebody. But I hope and pray that in whatever you're going through today, you will be faithful. Keep worshiping the Lord. One of the best prayers you could ever pray is thank you, Jesus. So Jesus, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the chance to suffer. I thank you for the chance to glorify you in the middle of my pain. I thank you for the chance to give you a fragrant offering that is like an expensive oil, like Mary Magdalene, who broke her alabaster jar and poured it over you, Lord. I break myself over you, Lord, and offer you the worship that's due to your name. You are worthy, Jesus. Thank you that you will never leave me. You'll never leave us. You will never forsake us. We will trust you, Lord. We will keep worshiping you. Meet us in this valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, we thank you for that rod and staff that comfort us, both to protect us and to bring us close to you, to rescue us. Thank you for that rod and staff. For those of you who don't know, that rod and staff, that is both a weapon and a rescuing instrument, a weapon to protect the sheep from predators, and also a tool to rescue sheep that are caught in treacherous places with a little hook. So God is both your protector and your rescuer. So we thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. I hope this has encouraged you, and I will be with you again soon. God bless. Please keep me and my family in your prayers, and please keep our dear friends in your prayers in their grief. All right. God bless you.